And one, two, three. And welcome to the Tales from the Wine Box podcast. This is episode 16, Comic Book TV. I'm Chris Mosby.
I'm Gerard.
And I'm Murray Fox.
Oh, good. Glad you can join us this time, Murray. How's your pelting in trapping convention?
Very successful.
Well, that's good. That's good. Glad to hear. So, we're going to be talking about television shows based off of comic book stuff. So, let's have... what?
Live shows. Not cartoons, but live shows.
Live shows. Live actions. That was our... That was our rules this time around. So, Caleb, go ahead and start us off.
I think it'd be safe to say that there were like three gateway shows, TV shows for people who like either read comic books and then wanted to watch a show based on them, or people who saw shows based on comic books. And those would be the '60s Batman show with Adam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm. With Yep.
Still incredibly sexy, Linda Carter.
Why, yes, yes, she is.
And the Hulk. Lou Bixby and Lou Ferrigno.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say those are the three that people will go, oh, yeah, I watched that. At least one of them, if not two of them. Mm-hmm. Even people who don't read comic books did probably at least watch the Hulk, for goodness sake. You know, those are obviously three shows. Clearly, they're based on a comic book. Despite, quality level, arguably some being more high quality than others, I would say,
yes.
Dramatic level, probably the Hulk is probably the most, the closest to being, good acting and so on and so forth.
It definitely took itself seriously.
Yeah, and it's weird, I actually watched an episode of it maybe 6 or 7 months ago, mm-hmm. and while it took itself seriously, it wasn't, stupid serious, and say, this guy, sort of the wandering, what was that show, the fugitive, kind of wandering, trying to escape, trying to cure himself of this horrible affliction, obviously we all know the sad music as he walked away at the end of each show. Maybe someone could dig that up and plug it in here at some point, Mr. Editor, sir. And then there was, the Batman show, pure camp. I think I said in last episode or a couple episodes ago that I just watched the first one.
Yeah.
Great. I mean, great, really cool stuff, actually.
It was.
And I liked how they mentioned in the very, very first Batman episode that his parents died. It was probably a 1 second throwaway line, but they kept to the myth. They didn't mention Dick Grayson's parents being, slaughtered either, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Wonder Woman. I don't know. I actually liked the 19, when it was set during World War II better than I liked when they moved it into the quote unquote present, but.
Oh.
She was hot in that old whack uniform.
Yeah, that was I haven't seen that in a long time, but I always definitely liked watching that one.
If you watch a movie, it's called Sky High.
Mm-hmm.
Linda Carter's in that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
She is held up. She is definitely held up over time. Thank goodness for that, because that means I can pull up my posters and still. Okay, fine. I don't have posters.
Yeah, that's fine. I was just looking at the wiki on that. Did anybody ever see the one with Kathy Lee Crosby?
Oh, blonde Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Okay. No.
Oh, good lord, that was terrible. I remember watching that. That was really bad. But anyway,
she was still blonde in that though, right? She didn't.
Yeah. And it's just talking about that. Its first attempt. That was its first attempt as a show. And they called it the new original Wonder Woman. Okay.
That's where they got the title for that Julia Louis-Dreyfus show then, huh?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. But, yeah, that was really bad. But anyway.
Old Adventures of New Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of silly. But anyway, yeah, that was a great show.
Lyle Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
Piece of trivia, the guy is a multimillionaire for building, what do you call them, trailers for movie stars for their movies.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he. If you ever get a chance to visit a movie set and they have one of those trailers that's, you know, really specialty, a real specialty setup, you'll see that the spelling of wagon has got the two G's, like Lyle Wagner. And that's my trivia for tonight, folks. Thank you.
Yeah, interesting.
He decided. Okay.
Yeah, 1979 found Star Wagons with two G's.
There you go.
Let me do. Says he's a sculptor now.
Okay.
That's what it says. That's what Wiki says anyway. So. Huh.
I guess he felt they didn't get enough pampering on the set, so he, No, those movie stars, they're so put upon.
Yes, they are.
It's a rough night.
Yes, it's bad for him. I think I saw a picture of one of Will Smith's. It was like this, like 1,600 foot wagon, you know, wagoneer or whatever they're called. It's like, holy, that's the size of my house. So.
Oh, it says here about him, he was also one of the finalists for the role of Batman, too. Huh. He could have been Batman in a Batman series.
You mean as in the Adam West one?
Yes.
Yeah, huh.
That would have been interesting.
That would have been a whole different take, I think.
Yes, it would have.
I can't imagine anyone except Adam West in that role.
Yeah, I don't think I can either. That would have been interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I would think those three were the gateway shows. I could be wrong. I mean,
I agree totally. Batman especially. And I've already talked about how, Batman is kind of ingrained in my DNA since, you know, my mom would have to watch that. If it was on, that had to be over before mom and dad could leave for their date, so when they were dating. So, yeah, that's definitely a gateway.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Back up. Your mom was a fan of that show?
Oh, yeah. You don't remember me telling that story?
No.
Yeah, they when that was on, they were dating when that was on, actually on television. And dad would come over to pick her up to go out, and that show, if that show was on, they had to wait till it was over. until before they could go. So, yeah, she loves that campy Batman. But I mean, when she watched the newer movies, you know, Batman Begins the other, she really likes that too. But that was kind of a joke. So yeah, that's kind of like ingrained in my DNA, the whole Batman thing. So, and when I grew up, that was probably the first show I remember seeing on a color television is that show. So yeah.
That's cool. I don't remember you mentioning that story. That is.
Yeah, I probably mentioned it on the first our zero episode, but it's been a while. But yeah, she loved that show, and when it was on syndication, I watched that off and on all the whole time I grew up. So yeah, until I realized how bad it was. But it's not really bad, I guess you could say. It's just different.
It's differently challenged.
Yeah. Because, you know, as I was growing up watching that, and I didn't realize, well, at the one point, you realize, you know, Adam West is really trying to act serious. Then you realize, you know, oh, okay. So everybody else was probably just, you know, camping around, but, I think he was actually trying to, because I've seen him in other things, and he just can't act. I'm sorry. So, but anyway, yeah.
I think the only thing I've ever seen him in other than Batman, well, obviously doing the voice of Adam Mayer West on Family Guy, but I think, didn't he do some cop show, some police squad type show or something?
Well, let's see. Let me pull up Adam West's deal here.
Poor Adam.
Yeah, I will admit that I did see him in, what movie was it?
Adam West is Willie Loman in Death of a Salesman.
Oh, he's from Walla Walla, Washington. Let's see. Okay, early roles. Young Philadelphians with Paul Newman. He was in some old westerns. I remember seeing some movies and stuff. He was in a crime drama, The Detective, starring Robert Taylor. Police sergeant. He portrayed Wild Bill Hickok in the episode Westbound Stage on Western series Overland Trail with William Bendix and Doug McClure. He was in an Outer Limits show. I was also in the last feature film starring the Three Stooges. Well, so there you go. Do you know he's Blue Water Comics is actually has a comic book that I think he helped write, but it's the Misadventures of Adam West.
That's too funny.
And he's got some kind of weird. I actually got a preview copy from them once to do a review of, and decided not to. But yeah, he sees this amulet, and he just like jumps back and forth from all these. A younger version of him jumps back and forth from all these genre movie type things, like a western to a spy thing, and blah blah blah. So. But yeah, that's the kind of thing.
Here's a piece of trivia about these two, Burt Ward and Adam West. They played Young Barnacle Boy and Young Mermaid Man on SpongeBob.
Oh, that would have been funny. That is funny. Oh.
As opposed to Ernest Borgnine and Tim Conway.
Yeah. Wait a minute. He was Walla Walla, Washington. That's kind of funny that he's from Walla Walla. Anyway, let's see, what else? There was a film version in 66, I remember that. That was pretty funny. Oh, in 1970, he was offered the role of James Bond by Covey Broccoli for the film Diamonds Are Forever.
Oh, God!
West declined, later stating in his autobiography that he believed the role should always be played by someone British, which I kind of agree with that. Oh my lord, that would have been so wonderful.
Well, I mean, think of the original Casino Royale with David Niven. That was totally over the top campy, and then I can see that they wanted to revisit that insanity.
Mm-hmm. Does a lot of voiceover work, but yeah, he was in actually a lot of movies. And as a matter of fact, I'm looking at his filmography. He was in a movie in 2003 called Badass, spelled BAADASSSSS. Okay, I gotta get that one. There's one, The Happy Hooker Goes to Hollywood.
You and six other people are gonna own that movie.
Yeah, well, I didn't say I was gonna buy it. I'm just gonna try to watch it somehow. Drop Dead Gorgeous. Let's see. Hooper. Oh, I think that's that one with Burt Reynolds. Yeah. Anyway. Very nice.
Adam West podcast.
There we go. All right. So, enough about him. Oh, Lord.
Wow.
Yeah. He is 83. Wow. He's getting up there. Goodness. Okay, what else we got?
Well, that's why he plays the young Mermaid Man.
Yeah, that's true. He did. I'll tell you, one of my favorite voiceovers he did, though, was when they did the Batman animated series where he played the Gray Ghost, which was supposedly the hero that Bruce Wayne watched on television, kind of a parody of the Batman TV show. And he had the actor, you know, he was an actor that played the Grey Ghost on TV. Well, when Batman had him in the Batcave, there was this line, he says, well, this looks exactly like the Grey Ghost Cave. And it was, I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it's pretty good. So.
Isn't that in the animated series? Wasn't he seen a Grey Ghost serial with his parents when they got killed, as opposed to Zorro? Or
no, they showed him watching it on television.
Okay, I thought that he was when they went to the movies and when his parents got killed, it was a Grey Ghost.
No, it wasn't quite that far, but yeah, they show him like sitting around the TV. You know, he's like laying on his stomach with his head propped up in his hands, his feet up in the air like a little kid would do, and you know, and watching those TV shows, and then the crimes that were being committed were based on those TV shows, and that's how he made the connection. So, but yeah, I've seen that episode several times. I've always liked that one. So,
well, get back on topic.
Okay. Well, anyway. And now the next episode of Adam Westcast. anyway.
Another possible gateway one for people would have been Adventures of Superman.
Yep.
George Reeves' show.
Mm-hmm.
Possible. I mean, that may have been a little before, or maybe, I don't know. I don't know. It wasn't for me. I discovered that one in reruns, I think, for myself.
Yeah, that was a little bit before our time. 1958 is when it ended. Yeah, black and white and color seasons. And apparently the air dates are disputed, but generally accepted as September 19th, 1952 and April 28th, 1958. So that's a pretty good run.
Murray apparently has not watched any television.
I haven't seen the old stuff. I remember seeing the Wonder Woman show, mm-hmm. and I liked it. But you're right, I liked it I liked the World War II stuff better than modern stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked Wonder Girl. Who can't like Wonder Girl?
I don't barely remember that. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Deborah Winger, right?
Deborah Winger, yeah.
No way!
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Did you ever see that Letterman that she was on, Murray?
Oh, no.
she's up on stage, you know, she's doing her old Letterman interview, and at the end of it, she says something like, oh, I have to go, David, and she jumps up and she rips off her clothes and she has a Wonder Girl outfit on underneath.
Awesome.
Oh, man, that is cool.
Awesome.
Running to the audience.
Donna Troy.
No, she was Drusilla.
Drusilla? Oh, okay. See, I don't even remember that character on there.
Wow. Did you just pull that? Did you pull that, Murray, or was that from my...
I have little things that popped in my head, and that was one of them.
Wow. I am amazed.
Hmm. She wasn't on very much, though. Like, I think they only had her on during that first season when it was all World War II-y stuff, and then when... Linda Wagner moved into the 70s. Say no more to Wonder Girl. She was gone.
Oh, that's terrible.
Well, that's what happens to Wonder Girls. They just vanish.
They do.
They vanish.
Cease to exist.
Out they get.
Cease to exist, yeah.
They become blonde bimbo thieves.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. One little bit of trivia. I'm trying to verify that in this wiki thing, but I had read that the Jimmy Olsen character was actually from this was first came up with in this Adventures of Superman, and then later added into the TV show. But I don't see anything in here. I'm just kind of glancing through it that would actually. Verify that, though.
I think we said that on one of the other episodes that he was originally from the TV show, and then sort of like in the Batman show originally, the Batcave was from the TV show.
Yeah, because I remember when they did the one year later.
I'm pretty interrupt. It wasn't the TV show. It was the serials. It was the movies.
Yeah, because I remember complaining once about them taking stuff from the movies and putting them in the comics, and then I think it was on one of the, on the comic forums board, and then somebody threw that and a couple other facts up that that had come from the movies first, and they added it in. So I was like, oh, well, okay, maybe that's all right after all. I mean, you know. So that's one of those things. But, yeah, anyway, that Superman show was something else. A lot of, for those people that don't know, a lot of the – I mean, the actor that played Superman, big controversy surrounding him, how he passed, whether it was a suicide or murder. In fact,
actually a movie with Ben Affleck.
Yeah, I was just about to mention that. I haven't seen that yet, but yeah, that that is, there's a big question around that. I think even my dad, you know, he was alive during that time, of course, and I think he even said he thought it was a murder just from stuff that he had heard. So, always, just want to always learn from my father about history is little bits of things like that. Like, you know, the whole Kennedy thing. I have all kinds of interesting ideas that my father came up with. So about how all that came up, but, yeah, that, that would have been interesting.
Kennedy killed George Reeves. I think that's the
yeah, that's an interesting twist. Now watch, there'll be a movie about that. Somebody is going to hear that, and you're going to get, you're not going to get anything out of it. That's just terrible. You got to be careful.
Yes, that's it. Exactly. Give away, sell them for Christ's sake.
Yeah, man, you can't be giving away all that good stuff. So, okay, what else we got?
You know, and to kind of jump around a little bit, Superman seemed to be a frequent visitor to live TV between Adventures of Superman and then Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman.
Something about that show, I started out okay, but boy, did I end up hating that show. I mean, I think I still can't watch Terry Hatcher because of that. I was such a stickler for comic book purity, and then watching that show, how way off it was, and I don't know. I never did finish watching that.
I didn't either, but I appreciated the fact that it was willing to go off on its own. I thought that was actually kind of bold in a way. It's like, okay, you know, you've got all these fanboys out here who are going to bitch and complain, and like we are, you know. And I probably would have if there'd been the internet at the time or more internet at the time. But I always thought it was kind of, okay, do your own thing. Mm-hmm. It was risky, and it was also campy. I mean, when you've got Michael McKean as a bad guy, you know it's going to be risky.
Oh, wow.
I don't even know if they even ever had a Lex Luthor on that show.
They did. I was just reading that. The actor John Shea played it. They killed him off at the end of the first season. Apparently, he had a terrible commute from New York and Los Angeles, so they had a falling out. So they just wrote the character out of the show completely.
He's awesome. I love this actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is a good actor.
Twin Peaks, I think, is he was on too. Oh man, this guy's awesome. I forgot he was Lex Luthor.
Yeah, well, they just had, like you said, just had him one season. Yeah, it's. It says, they killed off him in the season finale after falling out between Shea and producers over actor's strenuous commute between New York and Los Angeles. But he only reappeared sporadically once in season 2, twice in season 3, and once in season 4.
Boy, this guy's been around forever, goodness.
Yeah, he has. Seen him in all kinds of things, usually as a bad guy.
Yeah, wow. Oh, he was on Sex and the City. Goodness, okay.
Gee, sorry I missed that.
Hey, like my daughter learned to walk during Sex and the City. Probably trying to escape was her.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say, I'm not really sure I want to hear how that ties in, but.
So. Hey, if we can tangent into Adam West land, I think.
Well, come on now. He's Adam West. He's a tangent-filled person. I probably remember Incredible Hulk. I mean, I loved that show a lot. I liked that a lot more than I did that Lois and Clark show. You know, so, yeah, exactly. Though I do have an aversion for any show that's got that kind of a theme to it where they're, you know, doing that unending search where you know he's never going to find what he's looking for as long as the TV show is on. I have a hard time with shows like that. That's why I don't think that time travel show, The Journeyman, that NBC tried to make, didn't make it because of that. But
my wife killed that show. She loved it. She thinks that guy, I can't remember his name, Kevin something or other, is all that in a bag of
chips. Yeah, there you go. I think he's on like
on Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, never watched the show, but
I watched the show. No.
I don't. I just see the ads for it on TV. I have this memory, like if I see something, 9 times out of 10, it's like burned in my brain forever. So I pick those little things up just from fast forwarding through commercials. So. But see,
the Hulk was way too much like, I don't know, the Littlest Hobo. Did you guys ever get that down there in the States? If you
did, no.
You're lucky. It was like this horrible Canadian show about this German shepherd that wandered from town to town to town, helping out.
Wow. Now we know where they got the way for Incredible Hulk was set up in, because that's pretty much it.
I'm sure it was totally based on Littlest Hobo, but just... I mean, it had the cheesy theme music, and it had... Oh,
Lord. See, I probably would have been interested in that because I love dogs. Yeah.
No, you would not. You only would have been interested if the Littlest Hobo had turned into like a big green hulking dog.
Make
that half hour bear.
There we go. Now we're going to have a series about that. Oh, man. On ABC.
I would watch that. I would watch the Littlest Hulk Hobo more than I would watch.
We should turn this into a TV pitch podcast. Let's see. Let's take zombies and make them gangsters. Yeah.
Don't make me rabid. You wouldn't like me when I'm rabid.
I'm reading.
Give me nummies.
In the Wiki article, apparently Arnold Schwarzenegger auditioned for the role. No, not for the Littlest Hulk Hobo is what he auditioned for. You know, he's kind of needing some extra money right now. But anyway, no, it was for Incredible Hulk. He auditioned for the role but was rejected to his inadequate height, according to the commentary on it. That's what he said. Let's see. Okay, anyway, open narration. Dr. David Banner. I don't know why they had to change that from Bruce.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, David Bruce Banner is what his name was, I think. So they all would call him David all the time instead of Bruce Banner.
Maybe they didn't want to get him mixed up with Bruce Wayne.
I guess. So.
I love those movies, the follow-up movies they did. They had Warren Devil on there and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, those were great. And then the last one, The Death of Incredible Hulk, that was sad. It was sad stuff, man.
And then what's his name? Bill Bixby then, died. So.
Yeah, he did.
Doesn't Lou Ferrigno, he does voiceover for the Hulk in like stuff, doesn't he? Like in one of the Hulk movies, he was the voice of the Hulk.
Not that I can recall, but you know, you can always look that up.
So back to the Superman thing. So then we had Lois Clark, and then we had as you're looking that up, and then we had Smallville, which was on for 10 freaking years. So, which I probably only watched about like 6 episodes of.
I remember watching parts of the first season, but it was always on opposite Buffy, so I couldn't watch both, and Buffy won out because she's cute.
Buffy and what else?
Smallville. They seem to be on.
Oh. See, that I really missed. We ended up catching up on Buffy, but Smallville, I never did get to watch regularly because whatever cable, wherever I lived during when that was on, the cable, we didn't have CW or whatever the hell it was at the time, WB, on cable. So I only got to see sporadic, you know, and then I finally decided to start watching it when we got, it was on the cable we had here. Then they switched it to the extra high special, you know, edition cable that, and then I ended up not watching it still. So I have seen a couple episodes. The one with the Legion was in. I actually bought that on Amazon Video, so Amazon Instant Video, so I could watch it. But as far as that goes, I've only seen, well, I've watched some later on that I've, but I really haven't watched that much.
Yeah, what's wrong with this? I mean, it seems like it's a comic book show, mm-hmm. but when you talk to comic book fans, Smallville doesn't register in most people's...
Well, you know, I watched a little bit of it, and I don't know. It's like I said, I was still in that... Well, I probably would be even now in that purist thing, and some of the things they did with the role, I didn't, you know, it just didn't appeal to me. But hey, you know, it was actually a pretty good show watching it now.
Yeah, that's
the end there. Sorry, towards the end, like, they were better than any other show. They did, like, you had real superpowered antagonists. You didn't just have, I don't know, whatever. I mean,
the freak of the week.
Well, yeah, the beginning.
That's what they did in the first. Yeah. Season for sure. Who gets mutated by kryptonite today?
Exactly. But like when you look at shows like the Hulk or Wonder Woman, you didn't get any superpowered bad guys, which is what I want in my guy shows. I want to see those other characters. So towards the end of Smallville, you got like superpowered bad guys. You got other DC characters coming in, whether they were true to the DC world or not. It was kind of neat to see characters like, you know, Kid Flash or Aquaman or Darkseid pop up, and I mean, that's cool. That's what I want to see. That sort of stuff.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff I want to see.
Oh, I take that. I did see that JSA episode they did. That was pretty good.
Yeah, with Stargirl and Hawkman and Dr. Fate.
Well, they could have picked somebody better to be Hawkman. I just watched him. He was on Stargate for so long, I just couldn't see him as a big muscle bound, you know.
They were for the Savage Sword of Hawkman type.
Ah, that's right.
They were just ahead of the game there. They didn't
realize
that.
Yeah.
52 was around the corner.
There you go, yeah.
Knew he was gone. But it seems like for all its missteps in trying to do new Superman movies, they seem to have again DC nailing the TV aspect of crossover for media, whereas Marvel give us shows like Spider-Man. Something Hammond, I can't remember his first name, but
well, that wasn't bad for its time.
Really?
I didn't think so. Of course, I was a kid, so maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I haven't watched it since then. The Captain America ones they did for TV? Okay, that was bad.
Captain America on TV? No, they really
did. You
didn't know that? Yeah, you could buy. They did two.
Excuse me.
It's all right. You're excused. They did two TV shows on there.
Wow.
And you can get them on Amazon, and they were just terrible. They were really bad. And you knew about the Doctor Strange TV movie they tried to do.
I actually have seen that. Not since it was on, but that again, DC for some reason they can nail the small screen, but they can't seem to, you know, they're so hit and miss when it comes to the big screen.
Yeah, let me see. I will send you a link to that. Yes, here you go. Captain America and Captain America 2, Death Too Soon. Now, there was also the movie that never actually made it to the theaters that had Ronnie Cox. Is that the one you were talking about?
Me? No. For Doctor Strange?
No, I'm talking about Captain America.
No, Ronnie Cox was in a no kidding.
Yes, they did a, and I've actually seen that. They did it when was that made? Well, they just put it out on DVD, but it starts out in 1941, and there's two kids that end up seeing him or whatever. Well, they go to present day, Captain America's back, and Ronnie Cox is the President of the United States. And Ned Beatty plays his friend, and he's like a reporter, I think. But it's pretty bad. But yeah, they that was an actual theatrical release, but it was so bad it never made it to the actual screen. And I'll send you the links. And here's the one for the TV show.
Ronnie Cox.
But yeah, the TV show they were TV movies. Red Brown played them. Captain America in them, and I remember watching that when I was a kid. And yeah, those were pretty horrible too.
Yeah, I remember waiting to see the Captain America on TV, and I just didn't like it.
Yeah, and they really went away from the thing, the origin too, because it says here, former Marine Steve Rogers is in an accident. His only hope for recovery is an injection of the Flag super serum created years ago by his own father. Yada, yada, yada. So, anyway. So he gets this wonderful motorcycle that can be... It's in this van, and the shield becomes the windshield. That's how he carries it. Instead of strapping it on his back, it's like it slides in a slot, and you can kind of see through it a little bit, and yeah.
Because that's what you want. You want a daredevil running around the city on a windshield that's kind of striped and...
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Partially seen through.
Yeah.
That's who you want driving through the town.
And it looks like there was an actual serial of that, too. I don't know if we talked about that on the...
Yes, we did. But yeah. When I'm picturing that, I'm having flashes of Talladega Nights where he has the...
oh, Lord.
The advertisement on his windshield.
Yeah. I am not... I still haven't watched that, and I refuse to.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. I don't like him. I don't like Will Ferrell. I refuse to give him any money. I'm just not going to. Can't make me. Anyway, yeah, that. I think that those Captain America TV shows might be on Netflix. So you do yourself a big disjustice not to watch them and just see how bad comic book TV is, and the movie too. That's good stuff. I think they're on Netflix, but anyway, yeah. All
right. And not to give DC too much props because they also put out The Flash.
I was going to say...
Oh, now wait just one second. Don't you be dissing that TV show. I don't want to hear it. I love that TV show. I still do. I gave it to my nephew for his birthday just recently. He loves The Flash. The whole series. I'm going to get it. Don't want to... No.
Wow.
All right, continue. I said my piece. That TV show.
That show sucks so bad. No,
oh, that's your opinion. I mean,
hey, I'm safe over. I'm the hell over in Arizona. You're in Tupelo.
Hey, look. Remember, I'm a computer guy. Distance means nothing.
I mean, he's lawnmower man. He's gonna invade my computer.
You remember what happened the first time I was on the Legion podcast?
Okay, good point.
Anyway, I'm just kidding. No, I really liked it. Now, I haven't watched it in a long time, so it might actually still be bad. But so I'll give that. But I enjoyed that TV show myself. Maybe because I accepted the campiness or whatever of it and just went on. But I tell you what, the biggest mistake that DC did is trying to have the writing team of that show write the comic book later on. With you remember that?
No, but when okay.
Remember they were gonna have Bart Allen be the Flash, and they call it Flash, the fastest man alive.
I was like, sure.
That's 13 issues. Well, the first four or five issues were written by those two guys that did that TV show, and it just was crap.
I had no idea.
And then Mark Guggenheim took over. After that, they didn't make it very long. So
that was such a poorly conceived series to begin with.
Oh, and they're like, "Oh, we always planned on doing that. We always planned on killing him off." Yeah, okay, whatever. We all know that's like, oh, I don't like this character. Let's kill him off. Mr. Didio or Dodo or whatever the hell your name is. You know who I'm talking about.
Here's a piece of trivia.
All right, hey.
John Wesley Shipp, who played your hero, The Flash,
yes,
did the voice of Professor Zoom on the Brave and Bold cartoon.
Oh, that's cool.
That's cool.
Somehow I missed that last episode. I'm going to have to find it on the internets.
A little stunt casting there.
Yeah. But Mark Hamill as a trickster.
Really? Wow, cool.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
Well, I haven't seen most of them. We're catching up right now, my kids and I. So.
Yeah, there's one episode of that series I missed, and it had to do with Well, they kept moving. See, that was before TiVo, and I was always working nights at Kentucky Fried Chicken when it was on, and they kept changing the time and the day it was on, so I missed, I think maybe one or two.
Which, Brave and the Bold?
No, I'm talking The Flash again. Sorry.
God, wow. Years. I missed that transition back to The Flash. Sorry about that.
Yeah, well, I was just talking about, yeah, Mark Hamill played the trickster on that TV show.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah, you're right.
But anyway, yeah. Now, back to Brave and the Bold. Yes, I've missed some of those, too.
We're catching up. Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, he did the trickster voice? Oh, but that's right, he played the trickster on the TV show. Very cool.
Yeah. He did a good job, too. I thought.
Yeah, he got a costume. Didn't he? Hmm? He got a costume there. That was cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
They spiked out his hair and junk. Goodness. So, hey, I don't mean to bag too hard.
No, that's fine. I haven't watched in a long time. But they have it. In case you're interested in catching it up, the Warner Brothers shop has the entire series on DVD for a wonderful $10 price.
A fucking series?
Yeah. 22 episodes for $10. How can you go wrong?
There were only 20. I thought it was on for two seasons.
No,
okay.
One season. No, I'm looking at the wiki thing right here.
Really?
Yep.
That mask. So again, I didn't want to say that everything DC touched on the small screen was gold. And
that could have been better. But
there are obviously proponents of the Flash TV show. There's no question about that. to go completely off in the left field with this, there was, of course, and this was not really based on a. It was. There was the Captain Marvel / Isis hour.
I remember watching it.
Yeah.
Saturday or Sunday. No, I guess it was a Saturday.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's different time zone up there in Canada, so. You
know. That's right. Today is Saturday for me.
Yeah.
They have a whole new calendar up there.
Yeah, that was really good, too. I like that.
But with that kid, I don't remember who played it, played Billy Batson, but going around with the old guy in the motorhome, and I'm thinking, even back then I thought that was weird. But
it was the 70s. That's what kids did.
Michael Gray was the guy's name.
Was the kid who played Billy Batson?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. And obviously, Isis was not based on a cartoon, but it was a comic book. Eventually, became a comic book character. Yes. Actually, went the reverse direction with that. But that was one I actually looked forward to watching on Saturday morning.
Oh yeah, that was really good.
Live action Captain Marvel. There wasn't a lot of live action superhero stuff at that point.
Joanna Cameron is her name.
Played Isis?
Yes.
Her only role in life.
She is 60.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, you're right, yeah. She was in McMillan and Wife and The Amazing Spider-Man, but that was it.
She did the Spider-Man show, the one
with... Oh, she's got a few movies, but that's about it, yeah. Those two shows. And apparently she was also the host of The Navy Network, a TV series produced by the Navy about aspects of naval life, and directed a commercial for the Naval Academy titled Razor Sharp. Mm-hmm. Last known role was in the 1980 TV movie Swan Song.
appropriate enough.
Yes.
But yeah. Once you've done ISIS, there's nothing better. There's nowhere else to go.
No, not really.
Apparently not. Apparently Hollywood said, ooh, ma'am, we're done.
Yeah, she was in just sporadic stuff. Several episodes of Marcus Welby, M.D., Columbo, and commercials for the Guinness Book of World Records, apparently. She has, yes, she's also had a prolific career in commercials and claims at one time to have held the record for having done the most commercials in the Guinness Book of World Records. She claims that she's done more commercials than anybody, apparently.
Okay. Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
She can join Fonzie's cousin who did the quarter flip thing on
There you go.
Happy Days.
There you go. Yeah, good stuff.
Hold on. I'm sorry, I had to look up Nicholas Hammond now, the guy who played Spider-Man, because you mentioned Adventures of Spider-Man.
Yeah. I was had that up and up somewhere.
He played Friedrich on Sound of Music.
Really?
Yes.
The little kid? Yeah.
No, one of the
oh, here it is.
The one who turned Nazi on
16.
Oh, 17. Yeah.
I didn't turn Nazi. Sorry, it's. You will be Nazi now.
Yeah, you're right. He is. He was. Yeah.
I think that was. I don't know. Maybe I've got the characters mixed up.
Friedrich von Trapp. No, you're right.
He was a Trapp. Oh wow.
Well, if he's a von Trapp, he didn't go Nazi.
Yeah.
He was Nazi.
Yeah, that's right.
Spell for Nazis.
He went Campbell in the Alps. Oh my god.
He was a yachtsman in an Australian TV miniseries in the mid-80s. He stayed there. He liked it so much.
Okay, good. We didn't need his ass here. All right. So,
yes.
Moving on.
If we can after that.
Here's one. Maybe you didn't get up in Canada here, Murray. But was on the electric company. They had a Spider-Man segment that they would every once in a while.
Yes, that was good stuff.
We got the electric company, but it was on cable, and we didn't have cable at the time, so I didn't ever get to see Spidey on the electric company.
Oh, it was terrible, but it was great.
Because didn't he never talk?
He never talked. He would do word balloons.
I'm gonna have to scan that picture of when I was a kid. I was probably between six and eight. They had some guy dress up like Spider-Man come to our local mall, and you could get pictures taken with him. So I got this picture of me as a little kid with my Star Wars digital watch. sitting on Spider-Man's lap, and he signed it to my buddy Chris, Spider-Man. I'll have to find that and scan it. I know I've got it somewhere around here.
Yes, you will have to scan that.
Yeah, because the funny thing about when I was a kid, my ears are the exact same size they were when I was a kid. So I got these big, huge elf ears. And I took till I was about 18 by the time my head grew this to where they look halfway normal. So yeah, it's a quality comedy picture right there. Definitely have to find that.
You are pulling that one out. Don't think we're gonna let you forget that.
No, yeah, just keep reminding me. I know it's in here somewhere.
All right.
Where would that be? Oh, probably in that box of photos right there. Okay, well, we'll have to find that. Scan it.
I'm winding down in terms of references, but obviously the most recent one is one that, Chris, you're probably behind 100%, which is The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I was reading Volume 7 hardcover earlier, and it's just interesting how things have diverged on the TV show as far as characters. The biggest notable one, you know, spoilers for anybody who's watched the show, like the Shane character, you know, he didn't make it through the first trade in the comic, but he's like one of the main characters in the TV show, and just how all that, you know, acted. So, yeah, I really love that I love that comic. I'm not, and as I've said many, many times, I'm not a horror fan, but that one I like. And I have to admit, after reading the first issue for 99 cents on Comicology, American Vampire, I might be getting that as well.
Gonna hop on the vampire train.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, you know, vampires, man.
There are good vampires out there.
Oh, they're just so overdone, you know. I'm sorry, but they are.
Which are vampires or zombies?
Both, actually.
Okay.
But that's right, the only zombie thing that I read or even, you know, recognize, actually, if you want to get right down to it. But
my only non-self-published comic book that of werewolves.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll be on the jump on the werewolf bandwagon.
Wait, which one are you talking about?
I wrote a comic book that was
found. Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Now, see, I don't have a problem with werewolves. They're okay. Because usually werewolves fight against vampires. At least that's the way they do it nowadays. Because when I was younger, I always did the that's how I got over my fear of vampires, was to do research on them. And they are distant cousins of – werewolves are distant cousins of the vampires. So –
I think they fought each other in the Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein
movie. They probably did, yeah, they did. And then, of course, you got the Underworld stuff, which is another movie coming up. So,
so, and again, I think that I've kind of run out of TV shows that are based on comic books. Doesn't mean there aren't others, but Walking Dead, while it's kind of hit a lull in the second season, it's got a second season slump going on right now.
Well, yeah, and they're even doing a mid-season finale for some reason.
Oh, good Lord. Find the kid. Find the damn kid.
Yeah, no kidding. That's old. Anyway, go ahead.
But it's still good, and it's quality. I mean, it's good acting. Especially, I mean, the first season, the plots and the characterizations, amazing stuff. And I had to watch it on the slide because my wife hates zombies. She thinks they scare the hell out of her. So,
well, that show could do it. Yeah. My wife actually had nightmares after the first couple episodes of the first season.
Wow.
So, but she really hates horror stuff. yeah. But there's one thing. You turn it around. How about a comic book made from a TV show? Just real quick, The Bionic Man, Dynamite is putting out. Kevin Smith is writing it, which I've had a problem with some of his writing. He's actually trying to do it halfway straight. That is a good comic. Bionic Man, Dynamite, good stuff. Try it.
I've heard good things.
Yeah, you can get it on Comicology too, and it is really good.
And you know, you've heard a lot of good things about it, Murray.
Yeah, I've heard some good stuff about it. Yeah.
But anyway, so what else we got?
I maxed out. I was like going through it. Okay, there's got to be other ones.
Let's see. Yeah, I'm looking through here because a lot of these are – well, okay, this is kind of – The Green Hornet was a radio show, so you can't really count that because it's been made into comics.
Yeah. But the one I remember this – like I had to ask my parents to stay up because it was on like at 9, I think, and I totally had to see it. It wasn't a TV series, but it was like the, what was it called? Challenge of the Superheroes. It was like a, it was, have you never seen it? Have you never heard of it? Oh my gosh.
Yes.
It's awesome. awesome. I remember.
Oh, God. With Black Canary, I think, was one of the
Yes, but...
They put that on DVD now, I think.
Yeah, it's all... Well, yeah. Yeah. I remember that there was a babysitter coming over. I had to get special permission from the parents so the babysitter knew that I could stay up to watch this show, and it was not what I was expecting, let me tell you. However...
Yeah, there it is.
It was cool to see all those. Like, there was Hawkman, there was Black Canary, yeah, there was Batman, Robin, Shazam.
Mm-hmm. Weren't they on the Newlywed Game set or something like that?
Yeah, it was something. They even have Mordru in there.
Yeah. They had more Drew. They had
Solomon Grundy.
Solomon Grundy, yes.
Was that where they, with that picture with Mordrew on the water, on the water ski or the jet ski?
Is, well,
that,
it was,
that was the second one, I think.
Yeah, that was a water show. Two, yeah,
they had two shows. One was like, yeah, on that set where the heroes were on one side, villains were on the other, and then the second show was, yeah, Mordrew on the jet skis and
Legends of the Superheroes.
Yep, they've got it on Amazon for $14.99.
Frank Dorshin, he pulled it out. So did Burt Ward and Adam West.
Yeah, the TV show was Legends of the Superheroes. I think the challenge of the super... Well, no, wait a minute. The challenge of the first episode, United to Hall, retired hero, Scarlet Cyclone's birthday, blah, 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 blah. Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. They call it Legends of the Superheroes here.
They had Adam on there.
Yeah, they had Adam West and Burt Ward played Batman and Robin on it, yeah.
But no, but they had the Adam, the character, the Adam.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Ed McMahon was the host of this thing.
Yeah.
And here's our unofficial crossover with the Legion podcast. Martian Warfield was on it.
Wow!
After their night court episode, they just did.
Oh, they did that. Oh, I missed that. I'll have to read that or listen to it. I need to catch up on that.
Yeah, they did.
They had Huntress on there. Yeah, they did. I'll be damned.
Murray, good pull, man. I didn't even know. I mean, I've seen it. I think I've seen this.
I've seen it. Oh, actually, they did several episodes of it, didn't they?
Charlie Callis.
There were two.
Oh, okay. January 18th, yeah, okay. January 18th, 1979, and January 25th, 1979. Oh, I didn't know there was two. The second one was a celebrity roast of the superheroes hosted by Ed McMahon. Okay, I see.
That's the one I've seen. I haven't seen
it. Yeah. New characters include Ghetto Man, an African-American superhero who performs stand-up comedy routine. Let's see, Aunt Minerva, the Captain Marvel villainess who seeks a sixth husband from among the male superheroes. Rhoda Ruder, an entertainment reporter who snags an exclusive with the Atom. And Giganta on their engagement to be married.
Oh my gosh, that's too funny. I forgot about that. I wonder if Gail Simone saw that.
That had to have been where she pulled that from. Oh, that is hilarious. And Esther Hall, Hawkman's mother. Oh my goodness.
Hawkman's mom? What was he, a Jewish guy with...
Esther Hall, yeah. Watch a roast, yeah. Oh, my God, that's hilarious.
Go out dressed in your wings tonight. Carter, you're going to catch cold without a shirt on.
Oh, man. Both specials preempted Project UFO.
Ghetto Man. All right, so next time someone complains about Black Lightning or 1970s Tyrock, just pull out Ghetto Man.
That's right.
Oh yeah, that's bad.
How could they not use that in Hollywood Shuffle? Okay. Oh well, look at that. The guy who played him was on Hollywood Shuffle. Sorry.
It all comes back together, doesn't it?
Kind of does. Wow. Ghetto Man.
In Batman the Brave and the Bold episode, Crisis 22,300 Miles Above the Earth, it says all these villains roast, quote-unquote, roast literally and figuratively Batman with the help from a kidnapped Jeffrey Ross. So they did a takeoff of it. Oh, that's hilarious.
Lovely.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, it doesn't get much better than that.
No, I'm going to have to buy that now. Just gonna have to do that. That's hilarious. So I think we've beat that horse down pretty good now, haven't we? Talk about anything
horse.
Else or
that horse from Dr. Horrible. Sorry.
Yeah. Let's see. What else? Comics you've been listening to or reading? Oh, yeah.
Hey, Murray.
Wait, go ahead.
I was going to ask Murray what, you know, what, you know, you have you listened to our talk about the second issues of...
I did.
Yeah, let us, what are your thoughts on that?
Let me think. When I look at the second issues, I think my top five are probably Omak.
Shocking,
but I love it.
I have to admit, I am enjoying that too.
Like Omak, I like Blue Beetle. Okay, my ass, it's awesome.
Oh, well, okay. Now wait a minute. I didn't say it was bad. I didn't think the second one was good as the third one. That was just my thing.
Oh, it was good. It was good. I like it.
Yeah, I like it too.
It's like teen. That's what Firestorm should be. It should be like teen. Yeah.
I've heard somebody say that the
stuff. Third. Anyway.
Yeah, somebody said the third issue of Firestorm was a lot better, but I have yet to see read it.
Yeah. So let's see what else on my list. Omak's good. Blue Beetle's good. I like Legion. Legion's always on my list.
Yeah.
Flash is amazing.
Yeah, I really like that.
Beautiful. It's such a beautiful book. It is so beautiful.
Have you read it yet?
Yes.
I think that's on my list. Yeah.
Yes.
I dwindled my stack down yesterday on Black Friday because I was at work. I'm down to a handful of books now. So there was like maybe four people in the entire building. So I just sat and read comics all day. So
yeah, I love what Francis Manapul is doing with the layouts and the page stuff. It's a beautiful book. Batwoman is a good book. It's beautiful to look at. There's so much every time I look at it that there's just so much more to draw me in. And,
oh, absolutely, yeah.
There was another top five there.
I have to admit, and I mentioned this on the Facebook page that why I couldn't remember, couldn't find Superboy 2 when we were talking about it. It's because I had somehow missed it, but I got it on Comicology and read that this week, and I really like where that series is going.
Yeah, I'm going to have to pick up Superboy maybe. I was at the shop this week and I decided, okay, I'm going to pick up Teen Titans. So I picked up number 2 and 3 of Teen Titans and, it was better than I thought. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, he's doing a pretty good job on that.
Yeah, it's all right. There were some wonky bits in the third issue, but not wonky, terrible, but...
Third one is my next one to read.
Yeah, well... It's... You get Naughty Nurse Wonder Girl, and you get...
Oh, well. Man, that was a good shot.
And then you get Kid Flash taking a leak, and it's...
Oh, well, there you go.
You know, it's...
So, okay. I know how Caleb feels about this, but what about Green Lantern Corps?
I didn't read it.
Okay. Well, I have to say, I'm liking that better than the Green Lantern right now. I just read the third issue of Green Lantern, and that's going to be interesting. Not too fond what they do with Ganthet, but what are you going to do? But I think Green Lantern Corps right now is better than Green Lantern, so that's just my...
Yeah, I didn't pick up any of the Green Lantern books.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to be burned out on those. And I really think Batman and Robin is... really good too, and I know you guys don't agree with me on that one, but that's just
you know, it's not so much that I disagree, it's just I didn't get beyond number one.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, maybe number 2 and 3 are brilliant, but I, you know,
well, they're doing some rewriting of the mythos and bringing back some stuff that was kind of thrown away, but that Ducard guy that trained him how to, if I remember correctly, in original, he was the one that trained him how to hunt people. You know, he was like a private investigator or something, or he might have been an assassin. I'm not sure. But I guess there was a guy that was training with him, and he's like, come back. He's come to Gotham to basically you know, tear down Batman Incorporated. So he already knows he knows Batman and Bruce Wayne are the same person. And he's like trying to taint Damian. Oh. Well, not in that way. I mean, he's trying to turn Damian back into a killer is what he's trying to do. So, and I just read the third issue of that, and that was really good. So that's just my my thing. But both of those are written by Tomasi, the Green Lantern Corps, and the Batman and Robin. But I know Damian is acting like a little turd, but they did the same way with Dick Grayson, and he ended up respecting him, and they worked together, and it's just going to take a little bit of time. So, but anyway, that's just my thing. I keep harping on that series for some reason because I just want everybody to like it. I don't know. It's just me.
Now, I don't remember Geoff Johns doing this, but is it my imagination or has he decided to switch over to the Bendis slow build method of telling stories? Has he always been like that, or are both Justice League and Aquaman making it finally with issue 3, finally finding a storyline?
I haven't read number 3 of either one of those yet, but from my standpoint, it took 2 years to build up to the Sinestro Corps War.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And even longer to the Blackest Night. So I think it's the same.
Oh, okay.
Though the way he does dialogue seems to have changed a little bit.
Yeah, because he doesn't do any.
Yeah, it's very short and not as involved.
He's like, Jim, Ivan, draw something. I'll put some words in there sometime.
Yeah, well, you never know. That might be what they're doing. So,
draw pretty pictures and I'll put words in
there. I hope that's not the case because John's – I don't care what anybody else says, but John's is the one that's brought DC to the point where it's at now, kept it alive because of his writing. And that's what I think. Because some people, I've heard other people say that it was Didio the one that made Green Lantern great. Well, no, he just said yes when somebody asked him. It didn't. I mean, you know, Johns is the one that did all the work, and I still think he's micromanaging now. If you listen to some of the rumors that you hear, but anyway, that's a whole nother episode.
So Murray, you're definitely not getting all 52 then. You've
I've got about 13 or 14 on my pull list, and then there's another 5 or 6 that I just grab when I see them. So
yeah.
What about? I've been wanting to ask you guys about the non 52 books, like Young Justice or Legends, the DC Universe Online Legends book, things like that. Anybody?
That one I don't get. I'm getting Shade. I'm getting...
I picked up Shade and Huntress.
Yeah, I like Huntress. It's good.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it.
I read the second issue of Penguin on off of Comicology. Somehow I missed it. But...
I haven't read number 2 yet. I need to.
2? Yeah, that's good. What was I going to say?
I'm just looking at the stuff, like, again, like I said, like Young Justice or, you know.
Oh, no, huh? I didn't usually get that stuff before, so.
Oh, okay. Never mind then.
And I didn't really want any I know it's written by Marv Wolfman, but the game stuff, I really didn't want to have anything. I wasn't interested in that.
It was fun. It's good fanboy wonk.
Yeah, because that's the only bastion of the old universe left, really, now.
Yes, it is.
So. But I do have the game installed since it's free to play now.
Not on my Mac.
Well, I don't know what to tell you about that. I'm sorry. I'm probably, of all the people that listen to these podcasts, I'm probably the only one that is PC, but that's just me. Never got into it. I make my money on Windows not working well, so, you know. That's how I make my living. You know, something happens with the Windows machine, it screws up, and then they call me in. So, that's what I have all around me right now. See, I've got this laptop. I got another one over there. The server. I got four other desktops sitting. Oh, we won't get into that. But anyway. Well, that's just – those are hand-me-downs from work. Every once in a while, they'll buy a bank, and they'll have a bunch of leftovers that from that bank, and they want to use their own hardware, and they're just going to throw it away. So, you know, I do experiments with them.
The robot uprising starts in Tupelo.
So, anyway, that's about it. About it here. How about you guys? Is that it for you?
Still loving Daredevil over to Marvel.
Yeah, that's good.
Wolverine and the X-Men number 2 was easily as good as number 1.
It was pretty good. I have to admit that.
I'm loving it. It's just like with Batwoman. I'm worried that when the artist moves on, you know, when Chris Bacalo moves on from Wolverine, or when J.H. Williams moves on from Batwoman, will it be as good without their influence?
Batwoman, no, because he's pretty much that book, I think.
Yeah. Well, they've got it scheduled, though. Like, he's drawing the first arc, and then Amy Reeder is doing the next arc.
That's right. I forgot about that.
So it's a bit of, it'll be interesting to see Amy Reeder's style on Batwoman, because she's got a different style than J.H. Williams, for sure.
I gotta take a look at her style here. Hold on.
I liked her stuff on Madame Xanadu. Like, what I saw, Madame Xanadu looked good. So it'll be neat to see how that translates into Gotham.
I saw her in something. I can't remember. I saw some of her work in something, and I can't put it off the top of my head. Think of what it is, but yeah, she is good. So.
Okay. Well, and again, I worry about, you know, that just the quality and the level that these books are reaching. Again, and it's because of their creative teams they got there right now. But when those people move on, I get nervous. And again, I will continue with that woman. At least I'll check it out, if nothing else, and see. But Chris Bacalo adds a certain style to that Wolverine book. That X-Men book, excuse me, that maybe won't exist without him around.
That's possible. That is possible.
Anyhow, so, I mean, those are other books that, quality books that I'm getting.
Let's see what else. I picked up Fantastic Four 600.
Yeah, I'm thinking about getting that, but I haven't yet. They want $8 for that thing, though.
Yeah.
Even on Comixology, it's like
pricey, yeah. And I don't know. I know there's lots of people that like Hickman's take on the Fantastic Four, and I read all of the trades leading up to the end of Fantastic Four number, whatever that was.
Mm-hmm.
And the trades read better. Like, I had some of the single issues, so I had read some of the single issues. But reading the trades from front to back, was kind of put everything in context a little bit better, but it's still, I don't know, it's not my Fantastic Four. Like, it's a little cool, it's a little detached for me. I don't know, there's something that's not there that I'm looking for in a Fantastic Four book.
Yeah, well, I haven't really read Fantastic Four that much, but I did pick it up when it became FF, and because Spider-Man was in it. And it was interesting, but it didn't keep my interest. So I really can't comment on it too much, because I just haven't read enough Fantastic Four to, you know, to know. So
yeah, I didn't pick up any of the FF series. I don't think beyond the first issue, maybe you're the second, but yeah. But I don't know.
Yeah,
I picked up a couple issues of FF, and my biggest problem with that book is they have all these all these characters running around in it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't identify them, and it's not because I'm lazy. It's just, for goodness sake, I mean, mm-hmm. you're going to have these kids running around. Tell us who they are.
Yeah.
just their names?
I mean, well, they did a little bit. I mean, they did that diagram in the first issue, but yeah, I could see that it does get confusing.
There's clones and there's moloids and stuff. I don't know. I need something more, and it's not. I consider myself a fairly intelligent person, mm-hmm. and yet I still don't know what's going on half the time in that book.
Yeah, that's a lot of high concept stuff in that book.
Now, to Hickman's credit, when he came on the book, he kept there were storylines or plot points that were in previous creative teams that he picked up on those and kind of wove them in. He wove his era of the Fantastic Four into what came before. That's cool.
That is cool. A lot of people don't do that.
No, they just kind of, I'm starting fresh and it's a new beginning and that's great, but there's this whole history. And he attaches his Fantastic Four run to that history, but you're right, Caleb, it's not explained really well. Half the time I'm not sure what's going on, and I know he's got a big long-term story going on, but for all that long-term story, there's all these, I don't know, I miss... Reed gets a lot of airtime. Reed gets a story, but the rest of the characters don't seem to be doing much of anything beyond supporting that one story. And for how long? His run's been, what, 2 years now? Two and a half years? I don't know.
Really that long, okay.
But, for that chunk of time, I want more than just one character's story to be told.
Yeah.
Yep. Agreed. And... we'll see. I mean, I don't think I'm going to pick up that 600, but I'll, like you said, it's an interesting take, and now they're getting two books. They're bringing back Fantastic Four and going to have...
What? Really?
Yeah.
So, okay, let's just tell me that did they bring back the Torch? Or is he just on the cover?
No, no, he's back.
Oh, jeez. What a cop-out.
Well, I don't think... You know what, though? I don't think Hickman ever planned to make it a big this death that's going to stick death. I think it was just part of the story he was going to tell. And I don't... If it had been up to him, I don't know if he ever would have made it seem like it was a death so much as a Johnny's off canvas right now and we don't know where he is, but eventually we'll find him sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of the Marvel hype department gets a hold of it and they realize, oh, we can work this, so let's work it. And
yeah,
because to me, when I just read the story, it's very clearly even in the big death story, it's super clear that okay, he's not really dead, he's just kind of buried under a ton of aliens, he'll be back. Clearly, there's a million open doors left there for him to come back, so it's not like it was a I don't know. It's not like it was a Ferrolat death. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. I never believed he was dead, but I'm a little surprised they brought him back so quickly.
Yeah, I never read those issues because I didn't know what the deal was because I figured it was something like that. But yeah, I'm surprised they brought him back so fast, too.
Bucky was only dead for 3 months, so.
But he was never really dead.
But yeah, his clone, or what do they call those things in the Marvel Universe? Those robot...
Life model decoy.
There you go, Alan. Bullshit. I call bullshit. Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we've covered it all then.
There we go.
So, let's see. How to contact us. You can email us at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com. You can hook up with us on the Facebook page. Just do a little search for Tales from the Long Box. We're the only one there. You can comment on the actual episode comments, or God help you, on the forums, or you can actually put some comments there on iTunes and let us know what you think. And let us know what you want to hear about. So that's it for this episode. And talk to you next time.
That was fun.